he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. Yes, we're live. Okay, we're one of the few live talk shows today. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our resident chartered financial analyst. And we did have an active week in the markets this past week. It was in no means passive. We've got a lot of good stories to talk about from the week, where we're at year to date in the market, what we're looking for in 2023. We're actually finishing up 2022, at least so far. Now we've got, 5 weeks to go? But we've had a pretty good year, a pretty good month. We've had a terrible year, but we are making up some decent lost ground here in the markets in this last month, and I think it's probably because the Fed has decided to slow down just a little bit, put the brakes on just a little bit from those 75 basis point hikes, cooling down a little bit to 50 basis point hikes. But all in all, I think as we go through the show, I think over the next three meetings, we're going to get 150 basis points added to the Fed funds rate. And instead of a 75, a 50, and a 25, it sounds like we're going to get 350s instead. And at least the market seems to be a little bit more comfortable with that than with the 75s. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Show Week in Review, brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide money management fee-based only firm. We're fiduciaries. We have clients in almost most states out there in America, and we have a virtual firm. We do our appointments virtually because our show is heard all across America. And we stay pretty stationary, except when we visit the cities that we're in. And we will be visiting. We're planning our Minnesota-Michigan foray probably early March. That's what we're looking at, early March right now, after coming home from Sarasota just a few weeks ago. Well, Barry, we're one of the few shows that are live today. Right. Yeah. Usually at night, as I lay my head down on my pillow, since I was a little kid, I listened to talk shows. Now, we never had podcasts when I was growing up. I had to listen to live talk shows. I kind of grew up in Southern California. I listened to Dennis Prager a lot. And Hilly Rose and a few other of those great talk show hosts of my day, Bill Balance, etc. Last night I tried to find a podcast to listen to that was fresh. There was not one. Nobody did a live show on Turkey Day.
Your leftovers were fresher than that.
So I had leftovers in the podcast that I listened to last night. But I try to stay on top of world events, current events. It's very important in the markets. Because so much of it is intertwined. But today you're getting fresh content from us today. Well, a little bit about us real quickly. I've been in the business 23 years as a professional money manager. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen the best of times in the market, and I've seen two massive bear markets. So far, this bear market that we're in, I mean, it could get worse, but if we level off here, you know, we're talking about a 20-25% drop in the S&P 500 from the peak. Worse than that in the NASDAQ, though, more like a 35% drop in the NASDAQ. We don't know if we're at the bottom yet. A lot of that is going to depend on the inflation numbers that come out. It's going to depend on the economy, whether or not we go into a recession and how deep that recession is. It's going to depend on the earnings coming out from the S&P 500 companies and others. But at least for now, we seem to have stabilized in the markets for now. And Barry, he is a chartered financial analyst. It's not an easy designation to get. He's a certified financial planner. And both of us and our crew, our staff here at Gunderson Capital Management, can be a big help to you in the markets in 2023 as we get ready to turn the page on a new year. How do you stay in touch with what we're thinking about the markets? Well, we had our Seeking Alpha article. It trended yesterday. I was happy to see that. It was day.
That's that new content.
New content.
It might be the only new article.
We had fresh content on Seeking Alpha. It was trending all day. We were in the top seven or eight stories there with my picture there on Seeking Alpha on the front page. Three new picks, three new buys that we made a week ago last Friday. We made 12 buys last Friday. And I highlighted three of them in Seeking Alpha. We are one of the top-ranked writers. Last time I looked, we're in the top 2-3% of all the writers that they cover, about 8,000 on Seeking Alpha. I started my own firm some 17 years ago now, 2006, Gunderson Capital Management. The show I've done for 23 years. Here we are again, day after Thanksgiving, doing a live show, which I enjoy. Write the newsletter every week. This week I'm going to write an abbreviated newsletter, though. I think I'm going to do a little Black Friday with my grandkids today, a little shopping, and just take in the festivities, right? We are the newsletter goes out every week to my clients and to our subscribers. A lot of do-it-yourselfers listen to the show on a regular basis and steal our ideas or I don't care. Hey, if we can help you out, we try to keep you out of trouble. We try to point you into the best areas of the market. We're also active. We're not passive. You're not going to come to us and we're not going to put you into an asset allocation based on your age and then tweak it every 3 months. Why would you want to have a big exposure to the bond market in a rising interest rate environment? We've completely avoided the bond funds this year, and they've been run over by a freight train here in 2022.
Ran over by higher interest rates and folks redeeming and running out of bonds.
Yes, and the higher PE stocks. You know, just look at the range, okay? The Dow's down about 7% for the year, yet ARK Funds is down 60% for the year. There's a real lesson there. The lesson is that when interest rates, a rising interest rate environment, the higher the PE ratio, the longer the duration, and I would say the more the risk, probably, the worse off you are in a rising interest rate environment. People want something a little bit more safe. They want short duration stocks. The sweet spot in the market this year has been dividend paying stocks that are also growing their earnings. And as far as being active versus passive, we don't just sit in an asset class that's getting mowed over. I mean, in a rising interest rate environment, that was a seismic change. And we warned that it was coming at least a year ago, probably longer than that, more than that. And we told you to get out of the way of those asset classes. The NASDAQ, for instance, is down 28% this year. The Dow is only down 7. Why? The NASDAQ has higher PE stocks, a little bit more on the risky side, and a little bit more long duration in nature, you know, as opposed to an Exxon or a BP that's paying a big fat dividend. They've been around for a long time. They're not waiting for earnings maybe someday down the road. They've got earnings in hand now. So anyways, that's kind of our firm and where we come from and our philosophy on the market. One other philosophy I have on the market, it's a big market. In my database, my Best Stocks Now database, I have over 6,000 different stocks, ETFs, and mutual funds. And I built a database, a screener, an app called beststocksnowapp.com that points to, at any given time, the best asset classes in the market, the best indexes in the market, the best sectors in the market, and right down to the very best stocks or ETFs or mutual funds. It's based on a couple of factors. One of the factors, obviously, is performance and momentum, right? And the other factor, where possible, especially with individual stocks, is value. We like to combine value with momentum because on their own, you know, momentum leads you into can lead you into a lot of expensive stocks. And value alone can lead you into a lot of what we call value traps. They look cheap on the surface. They got a P.E. of 7, but they're not going anywhere because their earnings aren't going anywhere. So when we come back, we're going to do a review of the week, and then we're going to start getting into what we think are the best indexes now, the best asset classes now, the best sectors, and the best stocks now. We'll be right back. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management. We will do a quick little weekend review, and then we'll start to get into our forecast for the coming year, 2023. Well, this past week, just some of the highlights. Big surprise at Disney with Bob Iger coming back, replacing Chapek. But I mentioned that story because, Barry, from time to time, I've had some good investments in turnaround plays, all right? They don't come along that often. But there have been some well-known turnaround plays here over the last many years. You know, like, I didn't like Disney at all right? Well, under Chapek's, basically, he lost half of the company's value under his under his management, and now you got Iger coming back. So at least, you know, I would look at Disney again as a possible turnaround play. And, of course, they're going to completely clean house. He's going to completely revamp, restructure. So that's one to watch. There's another one to watch. You know, I made a lot of money. A good example of a turnaround stock that I invested in a few years back when Domino's Pizza brought in Patrick Doyle, and man, I'll tell you what, that was a great investment as he completely, looked at everything the company did. He upgraded everything, the quality of the product. I mean, everything he could possibly do, cut expenses, and then he moved on. And now I see a couple weeks ago he joined QSR, which is, what is that, Quality Restaurants? Yeah, it's Burger King.
Quick Service Restaurants, maybe? I know QSR Space, it stands for Quick Service Restaurants, but yeah, they just go by the whole
maybe
QSR.
Maybe it's QRS. Monster. Let me make sure I got the right symbol.
It might be QSR. I think it's
QSR.
Yeah,
I think it's
been a few things over the years.
Yeah, QSR. And they own Burger King and and they certainly, no, it's actually the name of the company is Restaurant Brands. That's it.
Yeah, Restaurant Brands International, RBI, I think.
QSR, they operate 29,000 restaurants, Burger King, Tim Hortons, and et cetera. So we'll see what he can do. We do have a position in that because we did well with Patrick Doyle in the past. Okay, the other big talk this year, I mean, this is going to dominate. The Fed obviously is going to dominate what their intentions are. But the R word, okay, recession or no recession. On the one hand, you've got Goldman Sachs. They say that there will be no earnings growth next year. We'll talk about that in a bit because that would not be good for the stock market. But they also say that the U.S. will avoid a recession. They're kind of the lone wolf. It seems like everybody else out there, most of the big macro firms, are looking for a shallow recession for a couple of quarters in 2023. But, you know, you've always got wild cards out there. You've got geopolitics. You could have a natural disaster. You could have a big railroad strike that cripples the supply chain.
There's a lot of unknowns. You continue to have war in Ukraine. What if that were to spread? Heck, we just saw, we were in Sarasota at lunch, and all of a sudden the market dropped, right? We looked up the news, and a missile had hit Poland, and two people were killed. I mean, that's how on edge the market is right now. But we will be watching recession talk. The yield curve is at a four-decade high. I mean, the distance, the gap between the 2 year and the 10 year, it was up over 70 basis points. Now, I've never seen that in my career. That means that people aren't real comfortable going out on the long. They would rather keep short term money on hand because they're worried about a recession for the most part. And so we'll watch that real closely, recession. But, you know, as always, there's always areas within the market. For instance, this past year, the energy ETF was up, I think, 52%. While almost everything else was down, that's why you have to look for those best sectors in the market. That's very important. As we go outside of the U.S., I don't see much opportunity. China's all over the place. China's a big part of the emerging markets. I think that's a dangerous place to invest, emerging markets. China has gone hardcore communist. They pretty much walled off not only their cities but their country. We're still trading, but it's not the same relationship. They've gotten rid of all of the reformers, and they're back to hard lines. So we won't be investing in China, nor will we be investing in the emerging markets, which China makes up a big part of. Crude oil will continue to be a big story going forward. There's a lot of different forces, Barry, at work with crude oil. On the one hand, obviously there's a war on crude oil. It's a worldwide war on fossil fuels. But on the other hand, if that war on fossil fuels moves ahead too quickly, Europe's going to get caught in a big crunch not having enough. We may get caught in a big crunch not having enough fossil fuel to keep the economy going, to keep our homes heated, to get to work and back and whatnot. And, of course, you've got the oil industry that is warning the politicians, hey, wait a minute here. You know, we're not, you don't really have the infrastructure in place for the electric cars yet, and we don't really have the power plants. We're not going to live off of solar, and these big ships, cargo ships, container ships, are not going to come in and out of your harbors on wind, all right? And, of course, you know, the airports and everything. Just go to the Atlanta airport and look at all those jets that are unloading passengers. That move to renewable energy needs to be planned, and if it happens too fast, it's going to create tremendous disruption. All right, what else did we have? Oh, well, and here's another thing. Shell, here's another thing. These oil companies have to invest. They have to keep investing and to supply the world. Well, we've got two issues. Saudi Arabia, OPEC, we're not on friendly terms with them at this time. In fact, they cut production, and they're not real happy with the current administration, and they're pretty much in control of the world's oil once again at OPEC. The last time that happened was back in the mid-70s, and I still remember getting in long, long gas lines during the oil embargo. So these are all outside threats to the economy, to the stock market, to the bond market that we have to be aware of. And Shell says, well, heck, we're not going to invest in new oil finds if you're going to hit us with windfall profits taxes. We just won't invest in much. So you got a real issue to watch going forward in 2023. And let's see, the real estate market pretty much has come to, not a standstill, but very. 7% or the high sixes right now for a 30-year mortgage certainly doesn't look as attractive as a 3% 30-year mortgage.
Makes it tough for folks, yeah.
Ouch. Okay, so when we come back now, we'll get into a little bit of our prognostications, our forecast and where we think the sweet spots of the market will be in 2023.
To the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, week in review with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual fee-based money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our in-house chartered financial analyst. Barry, question. Do you think we're at 10-year, the 10-year is at 3.7 right now, 3.73 to be exact. We saw the effect that the interest rates had last year. We started this year, actually, at 1.53. Now we're at 3.7. We've gone up a lot in the wave, and that's had a major impact on the bond market and the stock market. Do you see higher interest rate on the 10-year in 2023? We're at 3.73 now.
Yeah, it's interesting because, of course, you got the recession picture, right, that could certainly make its way into 2023, which would put a lid kind of in terms of, you know, the high end of rates, you would imagine, would put a lid on the back end. So, I think we've talked about it before. I think at most, right, we're in that kind of 4% range. I think the market's kind of, you know, certainly priced, like you said, three more 50 basis point hikes in. But, you know, you're still going to have, even if we stay where we are now, right, 12 months from now, you're still going to have that lid on PE ratios. And I think, as we've mentioned, really the next, kind of next wave, because the way this market's worked out is it's really, priced in the interest rate change in terms of what people will pay for earnings in terms of valuation. And now, the next leg to drop is going to be some sort of slowdown in earnings or some sort of slowdown in the economy, because that's just what happens.
Yes, there's the economic cycle.
There's a lag effect to interest rate hikes, right? It takes a while for that stuff to work through the system. You've seen it, as you mentioned, you've seen it in housing. Where that's one of the first pieces or shoes to drop in terms of where rates have their initial effect, and eventually you get a problem with business investment, other things. We're talking about some layoffs certainly in Silicon Valley. Probably the best best case scenario or best is my guess we'd be kind of right where we are now 12 months from now in terms of rates. I would expect to go back to 4 kind of in that interim at some point. And we stayed elevated. You can see what happened to the market when we stayed elevated above 4 for, a good bit of, really most of, a good bit of October. We were kind of in the first part of November, we spent, kind of above that 4% range.
Yeah, and a lot of it will depend on the inflation reports that come out every month.
Well,
so
right,
the
that's
impact.
The other piece. Yeah.
Here's the impact of interest rates going up last year on the 10-year from 1.5. I mean, we got as high as, 4.3? We're right now at 3.7. Here's the impact. What it did, it didn't really hit the earnings of the S&P.
Yeah, 4.3 intraday.
Yeah, it didn't really hit the earnings of the S&P 500. What it does is it hits the P.E. ratio, the multiple. So you have the S&P, as of now, we're down 15.5%. Okay, that's a pretty good broad, swash of the stock market, stocks in general. I think this year the shock of rising interest rates, the worst of rising interest rates, the worst of inflation seems to be behind us now. And like you say, now that the multiple, we saw the multiple on the S&P go from 23 to 17. At one point it was 15, okay, when we got to the low. I see the PE multiple remaining about the same on the S&P this year. Now the question is, we're going to earn $221 when this year is over. That's per share for the S&P 500. The Goldman Sachs said there will be no growth next year in earnings, and their target price for the S&P next year is 3,800. Well, we're at 4,000 now. That's not good. Others think that we're going to see maybe 5 to 6% growth in earnings, which would put the earnings up around 235, 230. And you put a 17 multiple on that. It doesn't give you a lot of upside potential in the S&P 500. I think the shock that took the market down is probably behind us, the worst part. But it's going to be a skinny year. It's going to be a very skinny year in the S&P 500. Therefore, you're going to have to be in the few sectors that do better than the rest. I mean, for instance, this past year, the energy sector did way better than the tech sector. NASDAQ was down 28% this past year. I don't think it's going to be a good year for tech. I don't think it's time to go back into Meta and Amazon and Google or Alphabet and AMD and stocks like that. Not at least yet, okay? If interest rates hold steady and maybe even drop a little bit, then that would be okay. But if we start to see interest rates moving back up over 4, that's just going to crush any kind of attempted rallies that the NASDAQ tries to make. So I would still stay on the shorter duration, lower P.E. ratio. In fact, one of the sweet spots this past year, and I think it will be again this coming year, will be dividend-paying stocks. We mentioned three. We wrote about them in Seeking Alpha. The article was one of the top articles yesterday on the site. You can go to SeekingAlpha.com and follow us there. We're going to try to get out more articles this coming year, but I've written hundreds of articles for Seeking Alpha, and you can see what those three dividend pairs. I think that's going to be one sweet spot in the market. Give me an example, Gunderson. Well, okay, one of the stocks we wrote about was actually a tech stock, but it's a low P.E. tech stock that pays a big dividend. We wrote about Taiwan Semiconductor. Well, what if China invades Taiwan? Yeah, you know what? There's risk in everything, but we don't think that's going to happen in 2024 or 2023. And we have some pretty good company in buying Taiwan. That P.E. ratio last year began the year at 30, and now it's at 16. So that makes for a lot more attractive entry point. If you're going to buy tech, you want to stay lower P.E., mid-teens, and preferably a dividend payer. That's been a sweet spot in the market, and I think it's going to continue to be a sweet spot in the market. I think the energy sector is going to continue to do well because in this race towards a carbon-free planet and green energy, there's a big bridge that you got to cross to get there. I mean, a big, long bridge to cross to get there. And with the regulatory environment that we're in right now, and with the pipeline shut down in Europe for the most part, it seems to me that's going to continue to put upwards pressure on energy prices, on gasoline prices, on diesel, on oil, etc. I think the energy sector will continue to do well. And, another area that's done surprisingly well, especially this last few months, the consumer sector. Barry, we thought the consumer was pretty much running out of dough, but I think I think gasoline prices have come down. Look, the unemployment rate is what? What is
employment?
Right,
yeah, employment stayed. I think the unemployment rate's around that 3.5, 3.5 range. You've got folks have more folks are have meaningful employment. Of course, folks are also dipping into, as we've seen, some of the revolving credit numbers, right? That really kind of peaked when you had very, very high gas prices, where folks were having to use credit cards and things of that nature to put gas in the gas tank. But I think from a retail standpoint, wasn't quite as it was interesting because it was much more dire, I think, in the reports that Walmart and Target came out with, I think it was in June or so, I guess the end of their, I want to say it was the end of their first quarter or second quarter, but, I was surprised not to see a ton of You know, you didn't hear a bunch of talk about inflation, wages, things of that nature. They weren't super rosy either, but you know, certainly the U.S. You know, consumer has been very, you know, very resilient, as they have been.
Yeah, for a long time. It takes a lot to knock down the U.S. consumer.
We like to spend money, so that's the one, yes. That's the one thing.
Okay, and the other thing I would say is, you know, the financial sector also is a good sector in a higher interest rate environment, because these big financial firms and insurance companies, they hold a lot of cash on the sidelines, you know, in reserves, their reserves, and they're earning a heck of a lot more on their reserves in today's world when you've got the six-month or the two-year. The six-month is over four, right? Four and a half, something like that?
Yeah.
So those are the sectors we like going into the year. Now, when we come back, there's another area of the market that we really like and have been taking advantage of here recently. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kites, the Best Stocks Now show on this day after Thanksgiving hangover day. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show weekend review. Well, one asset class we got to mention, we haven't brought it up yet, but it's certainly been in the news the last couple of weeks, is Bitcoin and the digital currencies. I have never been a fan at all of the digital currency. Oh, I know. Bitcoin got up to $66,000 per coin. Well, now it's $16,000. And I think over those last few weeks, we've really kind of seen just what a wild, wild west it actually is. And, you know, what Sam Bankman-Fried was doing underneath the surface. It was his little fiefdom. He was using client money for his investment fund. There's no insurance whatsoever if you have a Bitcoin digital coin account, like you have, you know, with at the bank, your savings account, or if you have a stock account, SIPC, etc. I'm not a fan. I would not go rushing back in, or never really was in it. I have an inverse ETF, the ProShares inverse Bitcoin ETF. I own a little bit of that, which goes up when Bitcoin goes down. So it's had a pretty good weeks.
Somebody asked me about that one recently. BITI, right?
BITI is the inverse, okay? And, you know, we used inverse funds off and on throughout the year. We used it on the NASDAQ, PSQ, on the Dow, DOG, and DXD. We used some inverse funds as hedges against the bond market, TBT, which actually was one of the best performing ETFs in the entire market. It was double inverse the U.S. long bonds, and that was one of the sweet spots in the market, being on the other side of that. You have to remember there's a lot of ETFs out there. Almost anything. You can be own an ETF that goes up when China goes down, or goes up when Europe goes down. It goes up when the emerging markets go down. It goes up when the semiconductors go down. Just about anything. And they do come in handy. That's part of active management, all right? That's not passive management. That's active management. Okay, one of the areas now – I manage an individual bond fund that has done very well. And, you know, you look at all these alternative investments that are basically looking for stable principal and some kind of income coming in. And Wall Street's invented a lot of alternative investments that are supposed to do not be correlated to the stock market. But you know what? I've seen them try, and I've seen many of them fail. The non-traded REITs, for instance, to me, that was a disaster waiting to happen. Why would you buy a non-traded REIT versus one that trades on the markets every day? You can look up the price and has total liquidity. How many clients do we have that have moved their portfolios to us from somewhere else that are stuck with some big investment in a non-traded REIT that they cannot get out of because there's no liquidity. So I just decided that for me, for the person that is really risk averse, what is wrong with buying an individual bond? For instance, you know, we own the Netflix bond. That's one of them. Netflix, that bond has done really well because it went up in value, number one. And number two, I think the interest rate was about 5 or 6%. So now, over the last couple of years, we haven't been able to find any new ones. We own about 9 right now. And, of course, we have new money coming to us all the time, and we're always looking for new positions. But lately, okay, with this rise in interest rates, you know, we recently bought a bond in a big global kind of a commodity stock. And, you know, you buy it, it's $1,000 per bond, and the coupon rate was 5.9%. Now, if someone came to me and said, you know, look, the market, the S&P 500 is going to do 5.9. It's a three-year bond, right, Barry, 3 years?
Yeah, 3 years. Okay. I think it matures right around now in 2025.
If someone said the stock market's going to do almost 6% per year for the next 3 years, that's pretty good, all right? You know, and pretty safe. I mean, it's not guaranteed. But it's pretty rare for a bond default to occur. There's been a few that I've seen in my career. But for the most part, you know, at the end of the day, when the end of the 3 years, you get your $1,000 back or however many bonds you decide to buy. And this, you know, we bought like 10 per person in our bond accounts, maybe $10,000 position. They're going to get 6% along the way, and at the end of 3 years, they're going to get their $10,000 back, you know, and the company will probably roll into another bond or redeem their bonds. They're always turning over their bonds, a kind of a rolling kind of thing. I'm finding more opportunities up in the high fives, low sixes right now than I have for many years. But you have to be, you still have to be selective. We use our best stocks now methodology. We find a best stock now, and then we check to see if they also have bonds. And, you know, maybe we'll find one or two a week, maybe one a week. I think that's going to continue to be another sweet spot in the market going forward. So those are, you know, dividend-paying stocks. I think the oil and gas, energy, the financials, maybe the healthcare. We have own quite a few drug stocks right now. They're doing very well. Dividend payers. That's kind of a common theme. And I think these individual bonds are going to be a really good opportunity over the next several years. Now, if you'd like to talk to us about active money management, I'm unconstrained. I don't have to stay fully invested. I can put in inverse funds if I think there's a lot of risk in the market. I can raise a lot of cash if I think there's some kind of a world event happens. We don't just sit here and do nothing and say, stay the course. I don't think that's a good way to invest because the world is an active place, and it's pretty hard to just sit by passively with your investments in the world that we live in today. If you'd like to talk to us, you can set up an appointment, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We meet with a lot of folks during the week. Over the phone or virtually. If you'd like to just sample the newsletter that I put out every week for the last 23 years with our prospects on the market, what we currently own, go to GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.